Everybody's saying sugar free. You've been saying what God has given you to say rather than what other people are trying to get you to say. Some people don't like that expression. I don't really care. Why? Because I want you to be a vessel for God, not for people. If I'm sending you out to say certain things and what have you, that's for my sole purpose. I want you to listen to God. Hear from him. Hear from heaven. You're his child. You're not mine. I'm just an under-shepherd. Amen? Title of my message today is A House United Rather Than A House Divided. I'm going to talk about that division, but God wants us to be a house united for him. It's for his glory. See, we're not called to change one another. I can't change other people. I can speak into their life. I can impact their life. You can impact their lives, but we don't have that right to change one another. And the thing about it is that people will go through great lengths in order to change. And the thing about it is, it's not for them to change for God's sake. It's them to change for their sake. This is who I need around me. This is who I want around me. Well, then we're not making disciples, if that's the case. We're just making servants unto us. We're supposed to be drawing all men unto God, not unto us. So we're not called to change one another at any time. At any time, we're not called. God didn't give us that right. He gave us dominion over all the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, every creeping thing that creeps on the face of this planet, over the cattle, but he never gave us dominion over one another. We're called to submit to each other. But he never gave us dominion. So when people are trying to take dominion, they're trying to operate in all that witchcraft, junk, control, manipulation, intimidation, domination. You don't have to submit to that. You don't even have to tolerate it in your life. Doesn't matter what they have to say about you. You don't have to submit to that. Okay? We're called. It's a house united, not a house divided. Change happens when you get into the word. When you allow the word of God, Romans 12:2, we know that. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our what? See, when that transformation begins to take place, if you can read the Bible 4 days a week, it'll change you. Just 4 days. 3, not so much. 4 days, you're going to start seeing a difference. Not just reading it, but actually doing it and what it says and applying it to your life. If you got your Bibles, open up to Ephesians 6. See, the thing is that we make a terrible God. We do. Sometimes we want our own, what we want. We don't make a very good God. God is a good God because he's given us free will. But if we were trying to be God and pretending to be God, I guarantee you, you'll try to force everybody to do what you want them to do. God doesn't do that. He's given us free will, right? So he's given us the opportunity to choose. Blessings and curses, life or death, you choose. That's your decision. He doesn't make you do that. But he also gives us the answer to that. Choose life. It's going to benefit you. Choose life. The world is choosing death. Every second of the day, they're choosing death. And God can say, hey, choose life. Choose life. He's in life. His words are spirit and they are life. Choose life. It's what he calls us to. We're his. In Ephesians 6, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Since you belong to God, if parents are giving you instructions that are contrary to the word of God, you don't have to obey that. If they're having you to do something that's illegal or immoral, what have you, that's contrary to the word of God, that means they're not submitted to God. You don't have to obey that in that sense. But here's the thing. If they are submitted to God, it's required of you because you belong to God. You belong to the Lord. Well, I don't have to do what you tell me. You live under the roof? Yes, you do. You do, but it's not anything immoral. You understand? Does that make any sense? I said, so your parents can't get to that place to where they abuse you in any kind of way. you can come against that. Parents should be giving you advice based upon the word of God. If it's against it, you are not bound to them to obey. But if they are giving you instruction as morally right, then you should obey because you belong to the Lord. God's children are not rebellious towards him. They're not. They listen to their parents and they listen to God. But disobeying your parents who are submitted to God and his word is a mark of a rebellious, sinful nature. And that's even for us as adults, disobeying God. Last year, I talked about this is the year of obedience, right? I'm still operating in that. It wasn't just for the year. It's for my life. It's to help project me into everyday living. It's to be obedient to God. Listen to what he's saying. Pray about everything. I'll pray about everything. And people, well, you don't necessarily need prayer for that. God can give you discernment. Pray for that discernment because your discernment may be off. You realize that Satan can open up doors for you too? You may be walking through something. God did this. God gave me an extra $100 when I went and cashed my check. No, that wasn't God. That was a bank teller error. Go back. Go back and give him that $50. No, it's fine. Give him that $100 or however much they gave to you. You realize that when Jesus, when he talked about Judas, and he said, I chose the 12 of you, but one of you is the devil. And Judas was in charge of what? The money. But Jesus never tempted Judas in order to steal the money. Well, I'm just testing this person out to see. No. Jesus never did that. He gave him charge. It was Judas's character. He chose to do that. He didn't tell any of the disciples, hey, Peter, come here. See if you can get Judas to do this. Let's see if he's going to be honest. No, he knew he was doing it. Why? Because it's about having a united front, a united house. Verse 2, it says, honor your mother and your father. This is the first commandment with the promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Now, this is the commandment out of Exodus 20:12 and Deuteronomy 5:16. But believers are not bound by the law, which is the law of Moses, because the law of Moses couldn't save us. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature. So God sent Jesus in a body just like ours, and God declared the end to sin's control over us by giving Jesus as his sacrifice for our sins. Jesus did this so that the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled in us, and we would no longer walk in the flesh, but we will walk in the spirit. Now, when your children grow up, the rules change a bit. What do you mean? I have a 27, 25, 23, 22-year-old. So my youngest is 22. I can ask them to do anything stuff and tell them certain things or what have you, but ultimately, if they say, I can't do it because I got obligations here, his family comes first. Their family comes first. I would love for them to be over at our house for every holiday, but if they have stuff going on, I have to respect that. So once they have their own family, that family is their immediate family. We become extended. So what I want, my preference, doesn't go over theirs. And sometimes parents don't get this part because it's all about me. Oh no, you guys got to be all about me. You don't know, you gotta come. I gotta have this. I gotta have that. No, actually, I like being alone. No, I never understood when people would say, you know, you have all your grandkids come over and then you're happy when they leave. And I'm like, why would you say that? I said, I understand that now. Mia will wear you out. So I'm about to start exercising and stuff so I can keep up with my grandbabies. But you love them. You know, it's kind of like when you're riding that bike and you're holding on to that. Fathers, you know, when you do that with your kid, you remember that. You're all right, hold on, get your head straight. They're looking down at everything else. Get your head up, you know? Of course, back then in the 80s, you didn't have any helmets. Please, pads? What? Kids are soft. Let's go. Boom, crash. Gonna get on up. Come on. Get back on that bike. And here's the thing. You do that because they're young, and then when they finally get on, they can get on that bike, and then they can start riding it. Anywhere they go, jumping off curbs, making their own ramps and stuff, getting hurt, what have you. You can't do that when they're an adult. You know, they get in their car, you can't be holding on to the bumper being like, let them grow. Let them grow up. Let them develop their own traditions and things of that nature so that they can appreciate it more. But when you're controlling, when it's that controlling, it becomes unbearable in some cases. You got to know when to back off. That's when you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. You got to know when to press. Stuff is going on. You got to know when to pray and how to pray. There's nothing wrong with praying for your kids. You want them to come back, but you're also happy when they leave. You want to keep that open. You have no control over your adult children anymore. They should be able to tell you no, not in a negative way, in a rude way, but they should be able to tell you no, no thank you, what have you, and not suffer any consequences for it. You don't have to bring up a story from way in the past where they got in trouble, and then now it stirs up all their emotions and it gets them back into your control because you have to be in control. Control is not from God. I once asked an individual that. I asked two individuals that, and they both hesitated. Does God control? They couldn't give me an answer. It's in the Bible. He doesn't. I don't understand why people have a hard time with a yes or no question. Does God control? See, some of y'all hesitant. Y'all can say it loud. Does the Spirit of God control you? No, he doesn't. He'll lead you. He wants you yielded to him, but he doesn't control you. But God controls everything. Not your choices. Huh? He doesn't control your choices. Your everyday choices that we make, he can't control that. He can lead you, he can guide you, he can direct you, what have you, with his word, but he doesn't control you. I said, we don't have that right to control. So when your kids get married, they are no longer your immediate family. You leave and you cleave and you become one. People who control don't get this. Because they want to. You're talking about me. I said, listen, I'm not a person that will walk on eggshells for people. I'm kind. I'm compassionate. I love people. But if this is your area of where you can't be touched, I'm gonna press where it hurts. You can't talk about this. If the Lord has me to talk on it, I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna do it unapologetically. If I said that word right, gotta brush up on my grammar. But that's the thing, because you're doing it based upon the Lord leading you to do it. And if there's things that God wants to address, address it. Say it when he says it. There'll be cases where you'll need to pray for them and to give godly counsel. And at the same time, here's the thing. Get the other side of the story when you have your children with you. Your daughter or your son may be coming to you about their spouse or what have you, and they should be going to each other and going to God, to his word. But if they do, get the other side of the story. Proverbs 18:17 says this, and we got to do better as a church, as a body of Christ, because this is all over. This isn't just here. This is all over. There are two sides to every story. The first one to speak sounds true until you hear the other side and they set the record straight. And most times we'll hear one side and then we'll take that side and then we'll try to correct based upon that one side that we've heard. I'll get both sides. Unless I was part of it, then I have my side. But we have to do better at that. You know why? Because people can manipulate that. They can work on you. and work on you and work on you. There's people who have a production team going on. I mean, I'm talking about they got their own little spin team going out. They can work on that. No, no, no. God wants us to come back to his word. In verse 4 and Ephesians 6, 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Discipline is important when you are raising your kids up. And I know if you have, I have three boys and a daughter. My discipline on them was a lot different with her. There was one time, Kristen tells the story. I mean, well, I said no to my daughter. And then she goes, this is when she was young. I don't even know how old she was. But she goes, "Dad, you never tell me no." All right. It shocked her because I told her no. But that was like the one and only time. Have I told you no before? Okay. So I'm doing better. I tell the boys no all the time. I wouldn't say all the time. But you're disciplined with your boys. You can be rough with your kids. You can be rough with your boys. You can, come on. But when it gets to that place to where it becomes abuse, and then later on you try to say, oh no, I was just playing. Make sure that they know you're just playing before you do that rather than after. Because sometimes they may not get you were just playing. That's all I'm saying. Because we don't want to get to that place to where your son begins to resent you. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't forget to show them love." There's nothing wrong with tough love, but don't forget to show them love. Show them a compassionate side. You don't have to play the good cop, bad cop all the time. In that sense, and have somebody be the bad cop and so that you could just always be the good cop or just be the good cop. And then you can show them who you really are. You're a man of faults. You're not perfect. You make mistakes. And when you can own up to those mistakes with your kids and stuff like that, and when they see that, that's a beautiful thing. Because they see your human side. God, my dad is not a robot. He has some compassion. That doesn't make you soft. It's okay to have some compassion. But it's all right to be tough on them. Why? Because the world will punk you if you don't. World don't care about you. And there's some people out there who don't care about you. So you're going to have to learn to protect your peace, protect yourself. You got to learn to walk away. Your dad helps you with that. You don't have to fight every fight, but there are some fights that you do have to fight. Having a dad, that helps. So nobody licks you. Everybody's quiet in here. I don't want my baby fighting. No, you don't have to fight. You don't want your baby being the one, your son being the one who starts the fight. Sometimes they need to finish it. Get an amen on that one. See, when you're raising them up, you're raising them up to be servants of Jesus. They belong to the Lord. So if you're mistreating them or provoking them in any way, it's not always on them if they are rebellious. It's not always on them. We got to take ownership in that. Jesus has to be the center of your life and their life as well. So you show them that. You may not do that perfectly, but you show them that. You have to have a house united. In Mark 3, it says this. "Then the multitudes came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind." Look, this is what they're saying about Jesus. They're saying he was crazy. Jesus had a zeal for God. He wanted to preach the word. He wanted to demonstrate the word. He wanted to do all these things. And he just, I mean, that's what he was doing. He couldn't stop. You know, when you have a love for God, some people are going to think you're out of your mind. Don't worry about it. Just goes with the territory. They thought that about Peter, I believe it's in Acts chapter 26 or something like that. They thought that about Peter. They thought that about all the other apostles. Why? Because they have such a love for God. Don't you understand that they, people are coming at you? They're saying these things about you, but you're going to continue on preaching the gospel? Nothing was stopping them. Verse 22, it says, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem, they came from Jerusalem just to hate. He said, down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. That's the thing. You have people today that will say it's because of the devil that they're able to cast out the devil. And Jesus just basically say in this next verse right here. So he called them to himself. Hey, get over here. Man, you guys are about as dumb as a box of rocks. Jesus calls him to himself and he says to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Satan's main thing is that he wants to just cause division within the marriage, because you'll turn on each other. So if he can't get to the husband, he's going to get to the wife to turn against the husband. If he can't get to the wife, or what have you, but he wants to bind up the strong man. Y'all remember Delilah and Samson? No one can touch Samson until he gave all that up to Delilah. You have to understand, wives, your husbands is your covering, along with Jesus. You have a relationship with Jesus. He has a relationship with you. But if you make it out to be as if, man, Pastor, it just seems like I'm in a dark cloud. You might want to check where your covering's at, because you could be just everywhere you're going, there's a dark cloud because you're not respecting what your husband is doing. It's a covering for a reason. It's that umbrella of protection. Your husband is it. He's your leader. Lord, you could be praying, Lord, I want my husband to lead. He's not leading the way he should be leading. That's not for you to say. Husband, my wife ain't loving me the way she needs to love me. And all. That's not for you to have her love you the way you need to be loved and respected. She's responsible for what she does and how she treats you, and you're responsible for how you treat her. A house divided against itself, it will not stand. The more you know Jesus and you get closer to him, the more the world will ridicule you and despise you. Haters will always hate because they hate themselves. People will see your marriage, see your family. They don't like what's going on, so they will try to infiltrate your family to get you to turn against each other. And this is what the enemy does within the body of Christ. People, Satan has been stripped of his power. We're not dealing with the same devil that Jesus dealt with. Because Satan was the god of this world. I mean, he had all authority. That was taken, that he stole, was given to him. By man and Eve. So when Jesus conquered death, when Jesus was resurrected, he took back the keys and gave all that authority and gave it to you. Satan is stripped. But the only thing that he can do is basically deceive one another and get us to turn against each other. That's the whole thing. Same way with your spouses. Same way with your relationships and friendships. So he's just basically using your own power against you and against others. Remember that. People don't like when you talk about victory so much because it gets to the place where, oh, that's all you're thinking about is victory. We wake up every day in victory. I'm not going to talk about defeat because you're not defeated. And if you're defeated, you don't really understand who you are in Christ. You have the victory every single day. He's under your feet. Every day you wake up, he's on your feet, under your feet, under your feet. And he's just waiting and just looking for a little crack, a little crevice here and there to try to get in. Did they do this? That's why they call him the accuser of the brethren. Because he's trying to accuse you in order to get into your life so he can cause havoc and chaos and drama. I'm a person that doesn't like drama. I hate drama so much. If I can avoid it, I'll avoid it. I don't like drama. Satan loves drama. But a house divided, it cannot stand. A kingdom divided against itself, it cannot stand. Well, Pastor Tim, I said, you know, a few weeks ago I talked about, gave bags to certain people and stuff, correction, accountability and stuff, and what have you. I gave those bags to people. And, you know, and sometimes people say, God will never tell you something negative about someone else. You need to get a better relationship with God if you think that. Because he'll tell you whether or not somebody is good for you in your life. Pray for discernment. The Holy Spirit won't do that? That's it. Read Acts. What happened with Ananias and Sapphira? Who did they lie to? To the Holy Spirit. Peter called them out. Jesus was sitting there eating, and the religious leaders had some thoughts in their mind. If he really knew, if he really was the Messiah, he would know who he's eating with. And Jesus turned and rebuked them. Many times he called them out. Many times. The Holy Spirit will tell you stuff about other people. And the thing about it is, well, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is positive. It's always positive. It's positive for those who choose to yield to him. It's not good for the one who's coming against you. It won't be positive for them unless the gospel is preached or what have you, and they turn and yield to that. But if they don't want to, it's not going to be good for them. That's why it's never good for anybody to come against God's anointed children. You all are his anointed children. Don't think that just comes with a title. There's your title. You're a child of God. If you need a title, there's your title. You're a child of God. Now get on out there and whoop the enemy's butt. Proclaim your deliverance every day. Enforce what God has already given you. And if you're still stuck on what you did yesterday, let it go. Condemnation does not come from God. It comes from Satan. Let it go. It's because of demons. He has demons. Jesus was sinless, and they said he had a demon. Are you crazy? Seriously, I said, people might think, I might have a demon. I don't care. Let them say that. I don't give a rip. They said it about Jesus, and you know what? Jesus just basically told them. Now, he didn't let them, but you know what? He told them off. If Satan casts out Satan, that kingdom is divided. Nobody can cast out a demon with a demon. Because Satan wouldn't do that. He's dumb, but he ain't that dumb. What the enemy loves to do is divide and to conquer. And if he can get you coming against your spouse and cause a wedge in between the two of you, he will do it. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Wives, your husband is your covering. Jesus is the head. The husband is the covering of that. Jesus is the covering over your marriage. Husband's job is to protect. And of course, the wives will also protect as well. You know, you hear that statement, you know, don't let mama bear come out. I understand that. Don't touch my baby. Don't touch my child. But here's the thing. I said, let me. I grew up in an era with ministers and elders and stuff. Everyone corrected us. So I don't have a problem with correction. I have a problem with manipulation, intimidation, control, domination. I'm always come against that. Always. Why? Because people don't want to correct you. If you want to correct, say what you need to say and move on. With a word. You can't correct somebody with no word. So I don't mind correction. We grew up around it. And then there's some people that don't want their kids to be corrected. Let them be corrected. There's some people who will give you some good advice out there. Then there's some people that will just, you know, if your kids come to you and tell you something, well, they said this and this and this, and make sure they're telling the truth. Get the other side before you go off on that teacher or something. Get the other side and make sure, and bring your son along with you or your daughter along. Because anybody can manipulate. And then you're just going to have one story after another. And the next thing you know, you waiting in the bushes, waiting for them to come out of work. No, God doesn't want you there. They're going to catch something, all right. No, God doesn't want you there. Make sure you just get all the, who's lying, and then pray about it. And then deal with it accordingly. There's a right way to do stuff, and then there's a wrong way. We don't want to do the wrong way, right? You have Jesus in the inside of you. You're not, this isn't pre-Jesus right here. Right? It's like, I guarantee, shotgun, okay? Yeah, let's go. Put it right here on the side. We're just going to hightail it. No, you don't have to do that anymore, okay? But it's to protect your husbands. You protect. And you provide. In most households, you'll see both parents working in today's economy. Crazy. But that works for them. Then in some households where the wife will stay at home and the husband will work. That's your job, is to provide. You provide for your family and what they need. You bring home the bacon, she fries it up. Or you can fry it up. Either or. You don't want me to cook bacon, I'll burn it. It'll be burnt or raw. There's no in between. You don't want me to fry it up. I can smoke, then I can cook spaghetti. And I can reheat. Smoke brisket. Not brisket. God, I gotta clean that up. Enemy looking for an advantage right there. It's just, well, you said smoke. No, not smoke, smoke. A brisket, ribs, tenderloin. And wives, you care for your children. You can help protect your children. Speak life into them. Pray for your husband when they're off at work. Lift him up. You are his helper. You will help him become better. The better version of him. Not to change him, but to help him to be who God has called him to be. And if you've been praying all this time, I want my husband to lead. He needs to lead. He's not leading the way I need him to lead. You're going to have to understand, when it comes to this place, if you can't take correction, because when your husband is truly leading, there's going to be some correction. And if you can't take that, you're not going to like it. Because Jesus loves the church. Husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus loves the church so much. Revelations 2, you see the correction that he gives to the church. He corrects them. But it's to bring them back to him. You got to be able to take that correction. I don't like how you said it. Okay. I don't like how they said this. How? Okay. But you're still going to have to take it. You know why? Because he's called that man to lead your family. He's called him to lead, to pray, to provide, to protect. That's his duty. Man, that's your duty. You're required to do that. And if anybody tries to take you out or disarm you, that's from the enemy. It's not from God. So you stand your ground on the word of God. If anybody can get you to the place to where they disarm you, to where you can't even fight back or protect or use the word of God in any way, shape, or form, it's not from God. They want your family. They want you divided. So don't you back down from that. I've made decisions where people don't like it. I don't give a rip. Why? Because it's what the Lord told me. If he's removed somebody out of my life, you stay over there. It's like that claw in the grabbing the teddy bears. You stay there. People don't like it. But guess what? I'm going to stay obedient, whether they like it or not. You know how many people they sent to me? Multiple. The same stuff over and over and over and over and over. I'm going to stay obedient. Why? Because it's a promise. There's a promise. You're going to make decisions when it comes to your family. Whether or not you want your family to be around your other members. You know your family members. You know how they are. Sometimes that's not going to be. You have to make the best decision for your family. And people aren't going to like it. And then there's times when people will make decisions based upon your family. If my siblings don't like me, hey, I'm cool with it. Again, I'm cool with it. We go somewhere else. I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm not going to be upset with them. They don't like us. No, it's not even that deep. They might be going through something. If they need me, I'm here. I'll pray with you. I'll get in agreement with you. But I'm not trying to control you. And if I need them, hey, I can call them up. If I miss my family, I'll call them up. I'll make the rounds. Hear my brother's voice. What you up to? Same old thing. All right, click. No, it's fine. So, our conversation is about maybe 3 minutes because, you know, I'm a talkative person. But you do what you need to do for your family. But number one, for God. And if the Lord is leading you to say something and do something, you do it. You stick with it. And it's not always going to be the popular decision. But that's part of being the husband, being the father. Your kids aren't going to like it. It's going to happen. Your wife may not like it, but she's got to go with it and trust God. You know, people get up and then the Lord might be moving them to another place. Wife may not like it, but this is where God has called them. But this is my church home. But the Lord is moving us. And if you don't get down with that, it's just going to be nothing but friction after every single day. Friction going at each other. Because you're not yielded to what the Lord has called the husband to do. Husbands, you're the spiritual leader of your home. Don't allow your wife to walk all over you. Well, she does. If I say something, she ain't gonna give me any. That's all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You're not gonna die. Trust me, you're not gonna die. That's the thing. It's like you can't use sex as a weapon because that's wrong. That's control. Submit yourselves one to another. You can't withhold it. And you can't control it like that because it's manipulation. Well, cut off for the next year. See ya. More golf. Some guys were like, yeah, woo-hoo, kicking their feet up in the air like, golf course. Are y'all awkward yet? Are you uncomfortable? Two. When you two are together, two of you are together, you make a powerful couple, a powerful team if it's the two of you. Nothing can stop the two of you. And you pray about it, and you're putting God first. Whatever he's placed on the inside, your desires, unstoppable. Unstoppable. Tom, right? Unstoppable when it's the two of you together. But you can't be afraid to lead. You can't be afraid to be vocal. But it'll be unstoppable. Allow God to lead you. Allow God to lead you. In Ephesians 5, it says this, wives, submit to your, somebody else's husband. Huh? Your own. You don't submit to another man, wives. No other man is over you. It's your husband. So that means that Pastor Tim's voice doesn't come before your husband's. Huh? There's some people that will use that. Nope, don't use it here. I do not sign off on that. It's your husband's. It's the word of God, and it's your husband's voice. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some of the things. Everything. Come on. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives, not somebody else's wife, as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Husbands, you love your wives. Wives, you submit to your husbands. If you just do what you're called to do, there wouldn't be a friction. But it's when we start saying, well, she won't be doing this. She doesn't do this all the time. She's always saying this. She's always saying that. She's over here doing this and this and this and this. He's not doing that, and he needs to be doing this. And what are you doing? You're telling the other what they should be doing rather than accepting what you're supposed to be doing. Regardless of what they're doing, you're called to do what you're doing. Are you doing? Yeah, but I'm a multitasker. Love your wife. Submit to your husband. Love your wife. Love your wife. There's a story. I know I'm going to butcher it, but it's a bunch of guys. They're all, like, on a podcast. And then there was just one woman in there. They were just listening to a guy says, I know why women are the way they are, basically. And he goes, you know, this is going back to the Garden of Eden. And please forgive me for this. But it was funny because it wasn't a joke, but it was just real life. He goes, you know, here they are. God put them in a garden. They have fellowship with the Father. Everything is provided for them in the garden. They have all the authority over everything in the land. I mean, they didn't have to work. It was good. It was golden. And then the wife said, then Eve says, yeah, but I think there should be more. I think there could be more. And then all the guys just started laughing and stuff. They were just in that room. They were just laughing at it. And then the lady was just sitting there. And one of the guys asked her, "You don't think it's funny?" I said, "What's going on?" She goes, "I was just waiting for more." He goes, "That's kind of the point." It's like, that's kind of the point. It's like, you can have everything that's perfect, and then there's, well, I want more. It's always good to be content. Godliness with contentment goes a long way. Goes a long way. And sometimes we just want more than what the Lord has wanting for us. Get to the place to where you want what he wants for you. And I guarantee you, it'll knock your socks off. If you can get to the place where, Lord, I just want what you want for me today, so I don't have to go out trying to get what I want. I just want what you want. Another level. In your marriage, in your relationships, in your friendships. I mean, it's another level. I want what you want for me, for my marriage. I want what you want. I want you, what you want for my family. It's another level. So don't back down. Don't give up. Don't stop praying about the things that's been on your heart for 10, 15 years. Lord, when are you going to send me a wife? Why don't you just get to know me better? Not me. I'm good. I don't need any more friends. Just get to know him better. Lord, when are you going to send me a husband? Just get to know him better. Serve him. Fulfill his will. Because if that's your desire and he's put that in you, don't give up. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Lord, I want to have a better relationship with my kids. Hold on to it. Pray. I guarantee you, he's going to change something in you first before he changes anything in them. Because if you're waiting for them to change, that's never going to happen. That change has got to start in you. Lead it, Tom. Lead. Hallelujah. You got to turn that frown upside down. Hallelujah. Lead your families. Pray over your families. If you got adult children, pray over them. Pray over your grandbabies and your great-grandbabies. But if they're saying, hey, you're overbearing, listen. Don't go out their tone. Don't go out, just listen. Maybe you're right. They might be telling you something by the Spirit of God that the Lord has been trying to tell you for 20 years. Oh, I didn't know. No, there's a reason why the Lord says when Jesus is giving us that daily prayer, and he says, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who do what? Trespass against us. When we say forgive us of our trespasses, what that means is that we have some self-awareness. Lord, forgive me of my trespass. That means you don't have to go through life 40, 50 years. But I didn't know I was like that. No, every day you can do that because he'll tell you. You might need to tweak this a little bit. Or not say that at that moment. Ask your opinion. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is 100% in all we do. 100% both ways. We all have to forgive. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength in you. And Lord, we just speak life into those homes that are dealing with a house divided. Lord, we just believe that you are the God of turnaround, that you will turn it to a house that is united in you and with you, that they're putting your word first in their life. Not someone else's opinion, not someone else's likes, but your word. And we thank you for every marriage in here that is getting stronger and stronger in you. We just thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for sitting there and listening to me. Or listening to the Holy Spirit. You wasn't listening to me. God bless you. We'll see you next, or this Wednesday, actually. This Wednesday. 6:30.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.